many players would you guys say you have rated as first round picks? First round grade.
We've probably got about 18 people, 20 people, I'd say, which is about the norm. You never have the same number of players evaluated in each round as their picks are in the round. But, you know, what I thought you were going to ask there is we're probably not of the conventional wisdom that this is kind of a flat draft. We think there's some very good players at the top of the draft. They don't happen to be the most visible, you know, high-profile positions. But there's some very good players at the top of the draft, and, you know, we think that will serve us well.
Mike, Coach Krzyzewski indicated to us today, you know, at this point, draft boards pretty much said you guys have a good idea of who's where and things of that nature. How much is that going to change, you know, over the next 7 days before we get to the Thursday night in Monday? Do you really feel that your boards are set and you've got a pretty good indication of what you want to do?
I think, you know, a lot of things have to be determined in terms of what happens, but I think we have a lot of information on players, and we're trying to process it through. And later stages of the draft, certainly you keep working on that.
Who's in the room and who sits apart from next
year? Well, the in the rooms are the same group of collaborators mentioned before. It's myself, Mike, Ray Farmer, Rob, and Jimmy. There'll be other people that will be doing, you know, have jobs in terms of phone lines and cap and making sure we're updated on all trades and who has what picks, but those will be the five primary people.
Joe, there's been a lot of there's been a few national writers respected this week who have concluded that you're trading with San Diego at number 11. Can you say there been any talks preliminarily with either San Diego or any team?
Well, I mean, it's normal this time to be talking to teams. Just some are teams you exchange some opinions on. Some are teams you just get a feel for, you know, are you open to moving up or down? And as you get closer to the draft, sometimes those conversations become more specific. So I won't go beyond the fact we haven't had any specific conversations about trades or what would be involved in a trade. We have had conversations with teams, either initiated by them or us, just kind of feeling out, are you interested in going up or back? Are you open to it, depending upon who's there? We've had those kind of, you know, feel each other out type of conversations.
Do you think any trade would happen on the clock?
I think that's highly likely, but not absolute, if there was going to be a trade.
Joe, if I heard you correctly, you said that you guys have like 18 to 20 players with two first-round grades on your board. If that is the case, is there a limit on how far down you'd be willing to trade?
You see, realize everybody probably has somewhere around that number. Maybe somebody has 24 and somebody else has 14, so and they're all not the same names. So if you have 18 to 20 names on your first-round board, that probably means you have players that would still be there all the way to the 32nd pick that you have graded as first-round players. We may have some guys at the top of the second round that somebody else has as their 20th guy or their 24th guy. So if you've got that many players, you'd almost certainly get one of them all the way through the end of the first round.
Joe, to what degree is the absence of a second-round pick influence your desire to move down?
Well, it doesn't change our desire to move down. You know, we got to make the right decision based on the value. If we think trading back or trading up produces a better value for something we think is important or we have rated high enough, we have to do it. I think it would be risky that if you made the priority kind of filling in a hole that existed, you're liable to not get the fair market value you're looking for in a trade. So I think if we got offered something that we thought made us a better team than staying where we are and picking or moving up, we'd make the trade. And if we didn't think it provided that benefit, we wouldn't.
Whether this is accurate or not. Belichick had final say in Cleveland 94, 95, and 93. Al Davis had final say in Oakland. Draft day calls, you have final say now. Accurate?
I think we've been pretty clear about the collaborative effort, and I think in most instances, in most every situation, that's the best way to handle it. Because it takes more than just one person to make a decision.
That's so nebulous. You know, what does that mean? At some point, if there's a tie in the collaboration and there's a disagreement, somebody has to break the tie or make the decision. Who does it?
I think that because there's so much time, there is time to build a consensus, and I think that's ultimately what you try to do when you're making these decisions.
If I can just add, because I know this question keeps, I mean, the real functional answer to questions, if we had a player, let's say four of us are evaluating, two of us like, two of us didn't, there's going to be some other player that three or four of us like. So as opposed to somebody breaking the tie, we're likely to move to the player that a majority or all of us like, as opposed to picking somebody we're so ambivalent about, which is why we kind of keep pushing this collaborative thing. We're not trying to be evasive. That will really be the way we'll function. If there's really a strong difference of opinion, we can't develop a consensus. We think our chances of making sure we're getting a good player are higher if we have three or four people who are in agreement. We'd probably just move to a different player as opposed to breaking the tie. Yeah, I mean, Jimmy isn't sitting there, you know, watching film and studying this in a way that he's going to vote on the player. He's asks.
We're talking about the five-man body that'll be in the room.
Well, I'm talking about really the four people, myself, Mike, Ray, and Chuds.
So how do you break the tie among the four, though? If you got two and two,
I'm telling you that the way we break the tie is, you know, there's not one player on the board at that point. There's probably four or five players we have, you know, around that pick. And there'll be some that either all of us like or almost all of us like, as opposed to ones about which we have such a difference of opinion. It's usually a better move to switch to the player that has a consensus of support. You'll be right more often if you do that. You won't be right all the time, but you'll be right more often if you're doing it that way.
So when you talk about talking to other teams, on an average year or specifically this year, how many would you talk to?
Well, at some point before the draft, you'll talk to almost every team. I mean, there's a few teams that just never trade. You probably touch base if you get a chance, but it's not a priority. But any team that has a history of trading anywhere in the draft, you know, some of these conversations, by the way, aren't focused on the first round. They may be saying, listen, we don't have a third-round pick. We're trying to get an extra. Would you consider moving your pick? Or, you know, we'd like to move up in the fourth round. So some of them are, you know, very long-shot conversations to ever translate into anything, but you're at least, you know, exchanging notes. Some of them obviously are first round, you know, related. We probably talk to almost every team. I'd say 28 out of 32, probably.
Do you have a sense right now if you wanted to trade out of six, that you would have a taker?
I think there are teams interested in moving up, but there are also teams interested in moving down. So how that fits together is, I know it's only a week away, but it's too early to have any idea of that. But I think there are teams in both directions interested in possibly moving, depending upon what players are there.
Joe, would you think anybody other than Jimmy Haslam, the Browns organization, has been contacted by the FBI or the IRS? And also, I wanted to know if you've heard from any Browns fans who are concerned about what happened out in Knoxville on Monday.
I think everything that I can and want to say about this we've already said, so.
Joe, as we stand here today, would you be disappointed if you weren't able to move down?
No. I'd only be disappointed if we made a pick that we did all feel really great about, and I don't view that as even a possibility the way our board sets up.
Hey, Mike, how do you rate the outside linebackers as pass rushers in this draft?
You know, I think like in most drafts, there's always guys that can rush the passer, and I think this draft has several guys that can do that. So, you know, it's more than just rush the passer. It's trying to make sure you find guys that can do a little bit of everything.
Do you think
that's
a priority even after, for you guys after signing Kruger?
Well, I think rushing the passer is always a priority in any NFL game, but, you know, I think certainly it all about fit, too.
Joe, do you guys think after going through your assessment of what you have here right now, do you feel like you're closer to being where you want to be on the offense or in the defense as far as pieces that need to be added?
Wow. Not sure I can answer that. I mean, I think we've probably got a few more established players on defense, so you know what they are, and a few more players on offense that are still projections, although we're very hopeful about them. But depending upon how they develop, it could be either, really.
Well, can you talk a little bit about this quarterback class? There's so much debate that perhaps these quarterbacks don't belong up in the top six, some of them say even maybe the top 10 draft. What do you think about the quarterback class in general, and do you think
Well, I think like every year, there's always quarterbacks that do some real positive things, and there's guys that don't. So I think this draft offers certainly those guys. In terms of the value of the pick, I think that remains to be seen. I think you put a grade on each player, and you see where that focus is, where that grade goes to.
How did your workout go with Geno Smith?
You know, any workout we do with a player, you know, we're not going to discuss about that. So, it was fine.
I think
in the draft it's about taking good players. I think even the ones that, you know, people say you can't miss end up missing. So I think it's about taking a good player and making sure we do that. I think that's the most critical thing. And do make sure we do all the homework we have to do, which we will.
Mike, is it more difficult when you have a guy, and I'm not saying you would take him, but a guy like Ziggy Ansah, who's played so little football, and there's a couple of guys in the draft this year that are that way. Is that a tougher read for an evaluator? And how do you go about trying to balance that with his lack of experience when you're looking at his upside?
Well, I think, you know, it's everything you do is trying to collect the right information, the right data on every player. And if the situation only lends itself to so many games, that's what you have. But you keep digging and keep trying and keep processing, and I think you can reach a conclusion based on what you have.
Mike, do you see Ziggy more of a linebacker or 4-3? Can he play 3-4?
I think Ziggy's a good player. I'm sure he can do both, yeah.
Two guys with repaired torn labrums recently. Sure, when they'll be ready, and Dan Jordan and Dee Milner, how does that impact your grade on
them,
or what you would do
in this draft? You know, I think the medical grades we get from the medical people certainly are about today and then also about the future. So I think you have to weigh those two things together as you make a decision, because the pick's not just for today, it's also for the future.
Would you pick a guy that just underwent one labrum surgery?
I think it depends on your medical grade.
As long as the doctors are telling us it's going to be fine, it won't be a factor.
Mike, we haven't heard from you since the preseason roundup. How well positioned is the team to get off the 5-11 treadmill after the players you've added, and anticipating what you might be able to add to the draft?
You know, I think that the team's about just trying to keep working hard and keep trying to add more players. I think that's the most important thing in terms of looking at it on a broader scale than that. For me, is really not my job right now. It's about focusing on trying to find good players.